prepare for Purim, the reason why I chose this parsha from the Medrash. It's Parsha Zion in the Medrash Rabbah. It has tremendous insight, and it gives you a lot of background information behind Haman, behind Achashverosh, and it also shows you how history repeats itself as well. The whole inion of Holocaust denial and all this, it comes out again, and you see it all. But it's amazing. It's a beautiful Medrash. Have a look. Im ala melech toiv. From the Megillah. Toiv yukosev la'abdon. This is Haman's suggestion. And im. Very important, the im here. The im is, it's not my idea, it's your idea. You take it further. A very subtle way of putting it. There's a cunning. Im ala melech toiv. I'm not telling you what to do, but it's a subtle way. The Gemara brings down that Haman bo ba'alila gedoila, with a tremendous cunning. His cunning was that he suggested it. He didn't force it on the king. In other words, the king, he gave him an idea to think about. And you'll see in a minute the anti-Semitism which comes out. The Alila Gedola was that, you know, the cunning was invite them to a banquet and everything will be taken care of. Once you invite them to the banquet, then they'll be forced to come along. And that will be the crunch for them. They believed, they knew about God and they knew about immorality. And that would lead Hashem to bring their downfall. Similarly, his end was, we've done it once before, of Haman, was with the cunning as well. When Achashverosh went out into the garden, you remember that famous passage, and he saw the flowers being picked. And he said, "Who's picking my flowers?" So the gardener said, "Haman told us to do it," and he hadn't. And then when he came back in, and he was lying on top of, almost lying on top of Esther. And never ever did he have any idea of taking Esther. But it was all a cunning, because he came a cunning. B'midosh adam moided, moided him lo. That, they say, is the main force of Hashkacha Pratis, which we see in the world. B'midosh adam moided, moided him lo. He got it back. So this is the idea, the Im ala melech toiv. I'm just giving you an idea, which will stay with you for a bit, and see what he suggested. Toiv yikosev la'abdom. Omar Rish Lakish. B'shar she'omar haman ha'rosh al Achashverosh, boi v'ner bades Yisro min ha'olam. Look at that instant reaction. You'll never do it. You'll never succeed. The Almighty never ever leaves them, ever. He'll never, you'll never succeed in this. Tochazi, take a look. Ma obid loin le malkin kamoy. Look what happened to previous kingdoms. The Havion Kominon, the Havon, which tried to overtake Klal Yisrael. Poshtonon Yudehem, they poshat regal, they collapsed. Aleihoim, the Havon Malchun Wabave, the Guvraim Mipi Minon, and they were much more powerful than we are. Much more powerful than we will never ever succeed. Aye, but he was Moshe Kolam Oilam. Ashurush was Moshe Kolam Oilam, so what does it mean? At that time it was only Chatzi. He wasn't in complete control, evidently. And I mean, I always thought he was Moshe Kolam Oilam. But the others were more powerful than him at that time. I imagine that's what it means. The Chomando Osya Lehoin, the Mibdenhu, and anybody who tries to rise up and come against them, Min Alma, to destroy them, Udiyaitz Alehoin, and who gives any advice against them, Miftal Min Baalma, is wiped away. The Have Lemoto Lechol Dore Alma, and they are a living marshal, a living story, a lesson to the whole world. The Anan Dolo Malin and Kavasayu, we are nowhere near as great as them. Alachas Kama Vekama Shoviklach Milamala. Forget this conversation. Tulpe Piskama Donna, don't ever have dreams about what you're suggesting. The Afal Pikain Hayahoman Horosha Matare Matred Alachashveosh Apiskama Donna Kol Shaita Vishaita. He persistently tried. He didn't give up. And he gave his eitzes against Chayasan. Interesting, just to see as a point here, that the whole idea here behind this is that they knew what they were doing. They weren't as ignorant as maybe we would think. They knew the Chochmah of the world. They knew about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kilva. Kodesh Baruch Hu is close to Klal Yisrael. They weren't Amoratsim. They knew the history of Klal Yisrael, and Achashverosh was aware of that. It's interesting that you don't have, like nowadays, a tyrant. They don't know anything, but they knew about Hashem, and they knew about the punishments, and they know what happens to Egypt. Omalo Achashverosh, hoil v'kach, nimlach b'chachomim, v'b'chalchumim. So Achashverosh said, all right, since he persisted and he tried so much, let's ask all the advisors. Let's ask everybody else. Miyad Shalach with Kibbutz is called Chachmei Umos Olam, and he made the United Nations. No different from today. No, I mean the United Nations nowadays is also full of Hamas, full of Hashem as well. Bol Kulam, they all came to where New York is it? Olafonov, Omar Olafonov Achashverosh. Should we go ahead with this master plan of Haman? Omulai Kulam the Vasachas. Everyone answered the same thing. Me who's ever Ezahu Hashem Alo Libalasos came. You're crazy. You'll never ever succeed. It's a ridiculous idea. It's impossible to do such things. They all said that. You don't have that nowadays, no?
No.
The amount of anti-Semitism in the world. But they all say, let's have a go. They don't learn either. It's a pella that they don't learn from the history of the world. What happened to Hitler? What happened to Stalin? What happened to all these people? No one learns from history. But they did learn from history. They knew what was going on. If you ever think of doing such a thing, look at this. The world only succeeds, the world only continues because of Torah, which is given to Klal Yisrael. If I hadn't created day and night, then it wouldn't have been worthwhile for me to give the Torah. In other words, the day and the night is dependent on the Chukah Shemayim Ba'oretz. The quality of Torah is the Kiyam Ha'olam. Remember the Lashon of Rashi, Yom HaShishi. Yom HaShishi by the creation is the Shishi of Sivan. Shishi of Sivan. In other words, the continuation of the world depends on the Kayach of Torah in the world. That's Reb Chaim Volozhin's famous word. And if not, we go all the way back to Tohu Vavohu. If we don't have the Kiyam Ha'olam, then there's nothing left at all. I don't know if I ever told you the Maisa of Chaim Volozhin. Did I ever tell you the Maisa of Chaim Volozhin in his yeshiva? That one day, in the middle of davening, Chaim burst out crying in the middle of davening in Volozhin. And he composed himself, then he started crying again a second time. And they sent the Nachlas David, Reb David Tevel, who was the Talmid of Chaim Volozhin, they sent him in and asked him what was going on. It was Yadua that Reb Chaim would see things often in davening, so they asked him, what's my height? So Reb Chaim said, I can't tell you. It's not for me to tell you. He said, the Rosh Yeshiva, it happened in front of the whole yeshiva. I said, well, if you can hide it from us, we saw what was going on. So he said, Reb Chaim said, that I saw that everything that is here in Europe is going to go. It won't succeed. It's all going to go. Everything's going to go, the Torah is going to leave from Europe, and we'll go to the last place in the Kiyum Ha'olam before the Mashiach comes, which is America. America's the last place. And he then told him that there was 10 places. It went from Eretz Mitzrayim to Bovel to France, Germany, Spain, Lithuania, Poland, all these places. And the number 10, he said, is America. That's the last one. And then the Mashiach will come after Torah has arrived in America. That will be the last place. And then everybody will come back to live in Eretz Israel. That will be the whole galgal of it. So then he asked him, why America? Why specifically America? So he said, until now, Torah in Europe is 24 hours. People learn Torah kol hazman. Kol hazman, there's a kiyama Torah. Oh, but once Torah leaves Europe, it won't be as continuous. And the Rashi there, the whole Rashi is that we go back to Tohu Bavohu, the Rebbe Shlomo will now have to create two time zones of Torah. Because without the Limud HaTorah, then the world will be destroyed. So when they're learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, they're sleeping in America. And the time zone, they're learning again, once we go to sleep here, then the Torah returns. I actually saw it once myself. I realized it from New York time to Central time, which is Chicago, is it Cleveland, mm-hmm. Denver, and then you go to them, and then you see them, and then as they're waking up, here they're going to sleep there, and there's Tayo Kol Hazman. That's the Kiyum Ha'olam. The Kiyum Ha'olam is dependent on Tayo. So he said, maybe that was fine, but why did you cry the second time? He said, the second time is because I do not know if the leaders of Klal Yisrael and America will be able to stop the assimilation. this bolalus. That I don't know. His bolalut. Zani la yodea. And that's one of the biggest problems in America nowadays, in Western Europe as well, is the assimilation. That I don't know. I don't know. Torah will have to go to America, and that's one of the reasons why I think Reb Moshe went, and Reb Aaron went, and Reb Yaakov, they went there, and that was the kiyum of Torah. That was the continuation of Torah. And that's why they went. Evidently, Reb Chaim Oizer, who did he send? Reb Chaim Oizer sent Reb Aaron over, I think it was. He sent, always with Moshe, they asked the Chaim Oizer where they should go. And at that time, America was a complete wilderness of Torah. But he said, you should go there, because that will be because of what the Chaim Lozhenov said. The Chaim Oizer sent them to America. And he knew what was going to come out of it. And that's the greatness of Kiyum HaTorah. Without the Kiyum of Torah, then the world will be taken away. That's Torah Bavoy, who we go back to. That. And every person who learns Torah, every person has a Kiyum HaOlam, the Kiyum HaTorah. So that's what they answered. Where are we up to?
Below
Oid. Ela Shekol HaUmos HaOlam Nikvam Goyim. We are all called Nochrim, Bifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael Nikrim Koivim. We are called close. No. We are close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu always. Begam el hagoy asher lo me'imach Yisrael hu. That's Yisrael. Yisrael nikve kvoivin. Lifnei Yisrael am kvoivai. Am kvoivai. V'loi oid ela nikru bonim. Klal Yisrael akur bonim. Hachogu b'shu b'ni b'chayri. They're my children. My firstborn. Bonim atem Hashem alakeichem, v'akadosh baruch nikra korev l'Yisrael, korev Hashem l'chol korev l'chol asher yikru'u v'emes. Interesting pasuk that. L'chol korev, asked the Gemara, l'chol korev? No, he's only close to those of kriya v'emes. What's a kriya v'emes? It's kavana. Kriya v'emes is kavana. Korev Hashem l'chol korev l'chol asher yikru'u v'emes is a person who calls with kavana, that's called a kriya v'emes. Ve'ein uma kareva l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ela, here we are, k'Hashem alakeinu b'chol kareinu elav. V'odam sheroitze lishloach yod b'mekareva v'ubono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eich yimalek. How on earth can you possibly escape? It's not worth it. Look at these words here. That's what they all answered. V'fi shehu shalit v'elyodim v'tachtoinim, his control above and below, v'nefesh kol chai b'yodo l'hagbiya u'l'ashbu. It's all in his hands. Look at this emuna coming out here by Umas Olam. We all recognize that. Lahomis ulahachios, leich tzidbonein memelochim hoishonim. Go and take a look at all the nations previously. Sha'ovu al shaposhtu yid sha'ovu. They finished. Why? Al shaposhtu yidayim b'Yisrael. They tried to finish off Chal Yisrael. Ma olsa bohem, k'mo paro v'sancheiriv. They all disappeared off the face of the earth. They had nothing left of them. I don't know if you saw, but my wife saw an email or something that they now discovered, not that we need any proof, in the Yam Suf or something, in the Red Sea, they discovered all chariots there at the bottom. A whole assembly of chariots are bringing up now from the Agalot. And they say an army must have disappeared under the water there. They found the place, which they're bringing up. They've assembled some of the wagons as well. All the things are there under the water. They say that hundreds of bodies and everything, and they see them. Just it's not that we need any proof, but
they happen in Yom Suf, though. So,
is it there? Is the Red Sea the Yom Suf there?
Yeah. The Red Sea. I thought you said the Red Sea.
No. Sinai.
Is that where it's?
Sinai in Arabia.
Yes, that's
where it is.
They actually believe this. They've had known pieces of it for a while. Some guys just recently put it together in a 25-minute documentary, and they believe that Sinai, Mount Sinai, is in Arabia. And if you look at the pictures, you think they made it up in a movie set in Hollywood. There's a giant split rock. There's a mountain, Har Sinai, that's covered with black, and if you turn the rocks over, it's not black underneath. But there's the burning fire on top of the mountain. They have the altar. They have a picture of the bulls, because they worship the golden calf. They have a picture of the bulls on the sides of the altar that they drew into the altar, huge altar with animal pens.
The whole thing is a bluff?
No, I'm saying it looks like that.
It looks like.
So you have to see it, you have to believe it. You have. I can tell you, but you have to see the documents.
What do you mean?
So it's very recent. There's another recent one.
What's it called? Sinai?
SinaiInArabia.com.
Sinai in Arabia?
Yeah.
So what do you say? What did you just say? That they picked up what? An altar?
No.
Because there were 12.
All the stuff exactly as described of it is sitting in the wilderness untouched for thousands of years. And the Saudis know about it, and they have it blocked off, and people like sneak in and they take pictures and they put it all together, what's there that they're guarding that people don't know about.
So Sinai is not where we call Sinai now.
No. This doesn't fit.
How Sinai is not.
The biblical narrative fits what they show you in this movie.
So what the people say is they
say. Including the chariot wheels that are covered with cross the river.
Right.
They show you the chariots under the water, the whole thing. Everything, the whole location, according to the biblical narrative, the whole thing is mapped out. There's another movie that came out in November. It's a 2-hour movie, though. It shows that there's a lot of false and suppressed archaeology in general, but also Jewish archaeology. So one example of this movie is they've done excavations in Goshen. So they found a palace, and I asked them how many kavarim on the grounds of the palace, which you should know how many they found.
In
Goshen, there's a palace.
Right.
In the Jewish area.
Right.
They found 12 kvarim. One of them is a pyramid, a small pyramid. And inside they have a large statue of a man with a multicolored coat.
What do you say?
Yes, it's in the days from the show. And then many, many other things that they put together, the whole excerpt that shows that the timeline of Jewish archaeologists say that the Bible is false, that it never happened. And these are like fundamentalist Christian guys who say that the Bible has to be true, and they go out to prove it. And they put together a whole movie of the entire Exodus, and they show that the timeline of what archaeologists said, everything doesn't fit, everything was wrong, there's no Bible. They show that it's false. This is when the Jews left, and they put together all of the evidence of the whole Exodus to what they've actually found. They have papyrus. Papyrus that shows that the names, all Jewish names of slaves, of Jewish slaves in Egypt at the time that they say it was the real time that we left, and there were different stones. And different.
Isn't there supposed to be a thing that Sinai that they say nowadays, every stone has a snare on it or something? Isn't that supposed to be? You can get stone from Sinai with a bush on it, and every time you cut it. You ever seen a stone?
Yeah.
It's a stone, and it's supposed to show a bush, but that's here, that's not there in Arabia, whatever it is. Whatever. But it's something worth looking at. My wife, someone sent it to my wife or something, I don't know, she told me about it, and it's what they're bringing out now is in the Amsuf, this is. You saw that thing. You saw
it's in the movie.
It's in the thing, yeah.
They go in and they show that the chariot wheel is
SinaiInArabia.com. Okay, no. Miyad, Omar Lohain Homon. Eloha Shetova Paro Bayom. That God who drowned power in the Yam, v'osal Yisrael nisim u'gvurois, sheshamatem kvar hu zokein. Look at this. He's an old man already. V'eino yochol la'asos klum. Shekvar ola Nebuchadnezzar, he succeeded, v'hechvi beisa. Nothing happened. He destroyed the house. V'sarfes heicholo. V'higla es Yisrael. U'pizon ben ha'umos. V'heichon koichol gvuroso, shekvar hisken. He's Zaken. He's not able anymore. This God is now old, and he's not operational anymore. Shenema vayomu lo yeyakov lo yavina lo kei Yaakov. Look at this now. Kem sh'omar lehem kein ki'inyan ze miyad kiblu devorov. Look at this. Unbelievable. They changed their mind. V'skimu daitam lechalas Yisrael. V'kosvu igros v'chosmu v'chein kosvu v'oizan igros. Nakaraka. What is this? How did they change their mind? What is this here? That they all came out with the same statement, and all of a sudden, one man comes forward with this idea. He's old, and therefore, it's all. How do you answer this? You need an answer. How do they suddenly change their minds? I was thinking about it. I know Jonathan gives out this thing from the Victor Miller Zechatag Livrochon. So last week he was explaining how Klal Yisrael always had tremendous seichel, throughout the years, and that was a Masoyos from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Meshoytek B'Daito, the truth, and he searched for the truth. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu came along, they needed proof, because they always walked according to the Seichel in Klal Yisrael. And that was the reason why they found it so hard by Chet HaEgel, because they needed to subjugate their minds to the Torah HaKadosha. You have to think what Hashem wants rather than what you thought. And that's one of the reasons why they made the Egel. Because in their Seichel, there was still the Erev Rav, in particular, had convinced them that our Pi Seichel, Moshe's letters, and now you see it, and they, Klai Yisrael always worked according to the Seichel. Umar Sa'olam had, he said, had no Seichel at all. They're like unbelievably fickle. In one minute they can go from one side to the other, and the whole story of Yoshka is an incredible fable. How can you possibly believe that a woman gave birth through Hashem, and Hashem is the father? He's a mamzer, nothing more than a mamzer. Ridiculous idea, that, and it's accepted that he became son of God. What do you mean the son of God? The woman was, she was an illegitimate child. What's the have a minna? They have such fickleness. Miller talks about it there. They have no yatsivut, they have no strength in their thought. You can come along and say an idea, and all of a sudden it gets changed. They have no yashus in their thinking, no strength in their thinking. That's what I was thinking. Otherwise I can't explain it. By umas ha'olam, you can convince them. You can come along with the idea. Isn't that Hitler? Yimach Shemai. Okay. Hitler came along and was powerful. A powerful speaker changed them, and they all believed him. Yoshka, Ben Shal Hashem. Aisha, his mother, whatever Mary, whatever name was. Hitler came along and convinced them. He was a powerful speaker, and he convinced all the German people. How can that be? They were such a cultured, sensible people. Elamai, there's no...
It's with the depression and the loss of freedom. Exactly. And when you have economic deprivation, politics is bad, and they'll come after the Jews. It's always with the Jews. Whenever there's an economic crisis, the Jews, they go after the Jews first.
But here they came along with logic, with sense. There was, it's more than that. Here, it was pure logic. There's no way you can possibly succeed. Now they suddenly change. Elamai, they're fickle. They're Elohim Gav by the Messiah. You come along with an idea and convince them, and they go running off.
That's why Miller also says how Ankh-She'orah is actually a compliment.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
The stubbornness.
Exactly, the stubbornness.
To stick on.
You saw that thing this week. Yeah, yeah. He wrote about this. It's a beautiful article this week. You know, they won't budge Klal Yisrael. They won't budge. That's enormous Myla place. Hamshaov is a Myla by Klal Yisrael. But they aren't like that. Let's see what he says. And then he wrote the letter. Sholom Aleichem Ad Ein Cheker. Nice bit of humor. This is the letter. Yoidea Lachem She'odom Echod Yesh Beineinu. He's writing to the Umas Olam. This is the letter which they now sent. V'chein Kosu Ba'otzoni Gods. And this is what they wrote in the letters. Shalom lachem ad ein cheker. Yodea lachem, says Achashverosh, I suppose, or I don't know who's writing it, maybe it's Achashverosh or the nations are writing it. Shodom echad yesh beineinu. Ulam mim karmeinu hu, ela mi zera hamelucha hu mi zera shalamolik. Umi gedole hadohu, vahoman shmoi. Vashom yemenu, sheela katana. And he asked me a little question. Vakala. Al am echad asher yesh beineinu, about a certain nation amongst us, nivze mikol ha'amim v'datam gasa aleihem, and they have great pride amongst themselves. Chafetzim b'ro oiseinu, they want our collapse, they want our evil. V'killas ha'melach shagur b'fim, and they curse the king. Unbelievably fabrication here. I mean, the story which they made up. Umaha ha'klolash ha'mekalelein oisonu, and what is the curse which they give us? Hashem melech oinam b'ovdugayim e'altzim. They have lost from their land. In other words, the nations have been perished from their land, and that's what they say about us. V'oid oinrim la'asos nekom ha'bagoyim. Teichechos bal umim. And this is what they claim, they'll take nekom against us. V'koifrim b'misha osa lehem toiva. And they deny the good that is done for them. And then he comes out with these stories, which are unbelievably, the lies are remarkable of what they say. Bo v'ro me oisai oni paro. Look at that poor king paro. Ma osu. What happened? Kishiyoldu l'mitzayim, kiblom v'seba podim yofes. He accepted them and brought them in a beautiful way. Vahishivam v'meitav ha'oretz, and he gave them a beautiful land to live in. V'zonasam, and he fed them. V'shnei ha'ovayim. V'chilam kol tuv sheba'arza, and he gave them all the good. Paltirim ha'yulai livnois, and they built beautiful palaces. V'hayubaynim sham. V'chol zois lo ha'yachol lahem. And it still wasn't enough. V'loi oid ela shavol ba'lila, and they came under great cunning to him. V'omuloi lizboyach le'elokeinu. We want to go there Shloshes Yomim, Acha Kach Nosha, and then we can be back after 3 days. The Gaon says on this also, actually, on this passage, how can they ask for 3 days? That was also not true. It was not true. So the Gaon says on the same Gaon which I mentioned before, that he came by Lila Gedola, that power came, Hava Nishak Malai. Let's be clever against Klal Yisrael, and we'll get them to work for us and build for us. That was an Alila Gedola, and therefore Moshe asked Paro, we're going away for 3 days. It's Mida Kenegin Mida. That's why he asked, because Paro came, Oven is Pak Maloi, and then when you, the Mida Shadda Maideid, he was given back that, and that's why he asked for 3 days.
It wasn't. No,
but that was a deception, because he came, Balila, so he got it back, Balila. Imutzaynacha hishilonu klei kesef. We would like to borrow your silver and gold, the smolos. Veshilam kaspam mezavam. V'chol habegodim hatovim shalahem. V'tanu kol echod kama chamorim shalahem le'ein mispar. And they carried out. So the moment becholos, I think there isn't one person who left Mitzrayim without 90 chamorim of possessions. Each person had 90 chamorim. How many is that? We want to know the stipler has a cheshbon. How many chamorim there were? Each person had 90 in Chaya Olam. The stipend makes
613 million.
But that's not the whole of Klal Yisrael. If it's whole of Klal Yisrael, it's about, I think the stipend says about 2.5 million, 2 million, all of Klal Yisrael, women and children, everything. So how many is that? 180. Yeah, 180 million, no?
And the 2 million is only 20%.
Only 20%, right. Chamushim, right, exactly. Ad shenitzlu es Mitzrayim, until they emptied out of Mitzrayim, hadu v'ayinatzlu es Mitzrayim u'bolchu lehem. Kemen sheshoma paroi shahiu bolchim, holach achareihem. He pursued after them, l'hoshev es money, to bring his money back. Ma osu loy, hoya imoyim odom echo. There was one man, Ushmai Moshe, ben Ammon, who Bisfosov, Bikshofov. This is the whole thing of Amalek. Amalek always works according to sorcery, magic. Notal makal echad velochash olav vehikabayas hayom ad shenecharav venichnasu kolam. And they all went into the bayavosha v'sach hayom v'ovu kolam, and they all passed. The eino yodea v'me ovu. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is the key to everything that Haman writes. Eino yodea is not known. It's unknown what exactly happened here. Ubame Yoshum, how the water actually dried up. Kem Shara Paro Nichnas Achareim Lahapsias Mamoino. The Eniyodeh, this complete always returns. Bame Dochvu Besochayom. It's not sure, it's not clear how they all managed to go into the sea. The Nitbahu Bachol Chela Bayom. Velo Zichroi Hatoiva Shaosalehem. Hello, and nothing is recorded of the good that they did with them. Hello Tishmu Shehem Kofri Toiva. Kofu Toiv, unbelievable. That's the tiny here. I just want to take off a minute and say a little bit about Amalek, because there's a beautiful biskurov here. In the pasuk we say Asher Kocha Baderech. What's the chisaron of Amalek? What is the magefa of Asher Kocha Baderech? Vayizani v'chokan lechoshoy ma'arecha be'ato ayev yageir v'lo yorei elokim. Ask the biskurov of all the things that Amalek did. And remember the moshel of the Ambatia. Everybody was scared of Klal Yisrael. It's like a hot bath. No one would go close. But Amalek did come close. And of all the things that they did, they pursued the people at the end, the stragglers at the end, who were very worn out and tired, and they were, what does it mean? So the Biskorov says, that's the worst of all. And he brings the Gemara from Baba Kama. Who's worse, the Ganav or the Gazlan? The Ganav, why? The Ganav has to pay kefil. Why doesn't the Gazlan pay kefil?
He does it out in public, whereas the Ganav does it in private, because
he's scared of people, but not of Hashem.
Yeah.
And that's why the Ganav pays kefil. The Gazlan doesn't pay kefil. Meaning, the Gazlan is scared of nobody.
But the ganav is scared of people, aval, not from Hashem, and therefore he comes quietly, and therefore he pays kefil. There's no yoshamayim. So, if you look, Ken, I thought, Gan ken mafachim miben odom, who mafachim miben odom, he's scared of people. Gazlan yotzer gazlan ba bayom, aval haganav hu ba b'sheket. Zot omet, he's scared of people watching him, so he comes to the quiet. Lo, who lo? Aval haganav bom shalem kefil, hagazlan lo mshalem kefil. What's the reason behind this? What's behind Amalek? Before we go into this, Eini Yodea. Rav Shlomo used to bring, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shlomo Brevda used to bring down that in Tfilas Chana, there's a Loshon, Al Talbu Sedabu Gavoyha Gavoyha. Amalek came on Klal Yisrael four different times. The first time was in the Milchemes Amalek, against Klal Yisrael, when they came out of the Midbar. The second time they came was when they came by Mordechai and Esther in Shushan. The third time was by Yisrishon, they pushed Bavel into causing the Churban. And the fourth time they came is against by Yisrishon, when Rome came to destroy it. Four times. Al Talbu, don't exceed, they came from far away. They came from way, long distance. They had no issue with Klal Yisrael, Amalek. But they came to make a war when all other nations were scared. Everybody was terrified of Klal Yisrael. But not Amalek. Amalek came from afar. Al Tabu Sadabu is the Diburim of Amalek, of Haman, when he spoke up against Klal Yisrael, Hashmilah Ulabe. Gavoya Gavoya is Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. So the Gaon explains that there were four kinyonim that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has in the world. The first one is Shamayim and Oretz. And the first time they came against Klal Yisrael is to be Aprut, Chukai Shamayim Ba'oretz. What did they do? They used to take their milas and threw them up to Shamayim. It was Zolku Milas Sehim Lamala. What's Bishat behind it? So Shlomo explains that the stemel of Shamayim and Oretz is a bris on a person. It's a chibul of Kedusha on a guf. That's Brisi Yomam Balayim. Shamayim Ba'oretz is on a person. The bris mila is a stemel of Kedusha on the guf. So they came to Aprut Shamayim Ba'oretz, and that was the first time. The second time they came against Klal Yisrael, who are themselves an Amalek. They came to destroy the chibur of Shamayim and Oretz, and that was Milas Lamala, meaning Lechabel, to destroy the chibur of Shamayim and Oretz. The second time they came is to destroy Klal Yisrael, who are the Am of Kedusha, and Segula Mikol HaAmim. The third time they came is to come against the Beis HaMikdash, which was by Yisrishon, and the fourth time is against Torah, Gavoya Gavoya. Says the Gaon, each four of these contain an element of Yah Shamayim, the Chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Olamai, Shamayim and Oretz, Klal Yisrael, by Yisrishon and by Yisheni, which is Beis HaMikdash and Torah, all shows the Chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the evil of Amalek is to Asher Korcha, to take away something which happens by nature as being Men HaShamayim. And that, I think, is behind these times, Eini Yodea. Eini Yodea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he wasn't Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each time you'll see, he says, I don't know what happened here by Mitzrayim. Why? He doesn't accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted on this. And that was the illness, that was the crime of Amalek. Every time he says, I don't know what happened to my Mitzrayim. You'll see the next one as well. Eini Yodea means not to recognize the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the next one. V'oid ma osu la Amalek abi abba. What happened? V'sha shebo aleihim la milchoma. When he came against them in war. Who came against them in war? Shebo aleihim la milchoma. Who? Who came against who? Amalek came against Klal Yisrael. Shebo aleihim la milchoma. Meaning Klal Yisrael came against Amalek. Shenema bayabay Amalek vayelachim im Yisrael biufidim. Mehechon bo Amalek. Omer Rav Kresbidoi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan Shabba me'etzal Bilam Arosha, from the advice of Bilam. Shabba litol etzal mimenu v'omar lo yodeh ani shabal etzal ato. I know that you are you give advice. V'gam bal machshavos vois v'chol anoytel etzal mimcha eino nifshav, doesn't stumble. Omar lo re'ei ma osu umazu l'mitzrayim. Look what that nation did to Mitzrayim. She'osu lehem kama toivos. They did such good to the Klal Yisrael. Umar le Mitzrayim she'osu lehem kama toivos. Osu lehem kach. This is what happened. V'sha umas arachas kama v'kama. Hei chato yotzele. How can you advise me what to do?
Amalai Bilam, Lech Basei Imahem Milchama, go and make a Milchama, Vim Einata Oysa Imahem Milchama, Einata Yocholahem, Mipnei Shehin Tulim Bishusa Shel Avom Avihem, Vaaf Ato Shehu Ben Benoi Shel Avom, Tolui Bishusa Shel Avom, Miyad Bo Alehim La Milchama, they came and made Milchama, Ma Osu Oysa Maisha, Parnisle, what did he do? Hoya Loi Talmid Echol, Yehoshua Ben Nun, Shemoi, he was the cruelest of men of all. And he had no rachamim. I don't know the people who he chose. In Bali Kshofim, here we are. Again, always Kshofim. Heim. Oi im Giboy Milchoma. Ma osa oisa Moshe. Not a makal biyoda. He took his stick. The eini yodea ma osa. But I don't know what he did with his stick. The kevim shabo aleihem. Eini yodea ma lochash lahem. How he conjured against them. The rofu yodeim ve noflu lifneim. Hadohu tisu bayachalosh Yeshua Samalek ve esamoy lefi chorev. Bo al sichoim ba oig. Giboy reals. Who came against who? Who came against them? Sichanah came against Klal Yisrael. Not they came against them. She'ein kol bir yo'chol lamad. No one could stand in front of them. Ve'eini yodea b'me hogum. Each time he denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bo'aleihem malchei midyon. Ve'eini yodea b'me hogum. There's a denial. Each time is denial of the hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'oid ma'osa talmid shel oisah ha'ish Moshe. What did he do? Hichnis es Yisrael le'eretz Kanan. Ve'lo da'ishan not ales ha'ata. Not enough that they just took their land. El ha'shahorag mehem shloishim ve'echol malochim. They killed 31 kings. Ve'cholak es ha'atam le'Yisrael ve'lo chomal aleihem. And they had no rachamim on the kings. Ve'oisan shelo bikesh la'arog ha'yu lo la'avodim. And those who he didn't kill, he took as slaves. Bo'aleihem sisera ve'hamoina ve'ini yodea ma'osu lo. I don't know what happened here at Nachal Kishon. She golfam shot from bishlichem liamagodl. She nema nachal kishon golfam. Vahyolehem melech rishon shol shemoy vahalach nilcham ba'oritz avi abba and he fought against my zeda amolek vahorag mehem mea alofim poroshim biyoyim echod vegam loy chomal. He didn't spare any man or woman v'loy al oil el yonik nor any child ve'eni yodeh ba'meh holgam. My grandfather, who had rachamim on him at first. Along came Shmuel. He cut him up. Shmuel cut up Agag. He killed him in such an awful way. David ben Yishai Shmuel. Bahaya mashris umachale eskal hamamlochis, velohaya choymel aleihem shenema, vish eisha la yichia David. Vamadachov shlomo bana, this is the nicest one of all. Ubana lehem Yisrael. He knows about the Beis HaMikdash. Bais echod, the koralai Beis HaMikdash. The eini ade mahaya lehem besaycho. And I don't know what they did in there. Kishaboyin the milchama, whenever they had a war, nichasim metaycho, umachashrim besaycho. And they did witchcraft there. And they destroy the whole world. It's all in union of Kishuf and Eini Yodea. And yet they rebelled against their God. And now he's gone old, that God. And he destroyed their house. And still they keep up their evil ways. They scorn us. And now we've all agreed on one plan. When could we possibly kill them? Actually, it wasn't that day. What did the goyel go on? The goyel didn't actually go on the day. The goyel went on the month. That's all. But he chose the 13th. 13th was chosen by Haman. So I saw in the Maharal explains what happened here. Why did he choose the 13th? Haman was overjoyed when it came out to the Adar, because it's the last of the month, so if it's a siman, it'll be the last of Klal Yisrael. That's what
he said.
And Moshe died as well. So why did he choose the 13th? What was behind the 13th?
So he said, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, they say for 7 days afterwards, there's a connection of the neshama to the world, and therefore he waited until after 7 days, and Mikzas Hayom Kekulai, and therefore he chose the 13th of the month. After the 13th, that's why he chose the 13th of the month. Mikzas Hayom, the 7th day of Avelus. So therefore, already not Sha'achal, and therefore the rest of the time, therefore he could destroy them. That's the first reason. Zion, and then the 7 days afterwards, on this, and after the first day, after the eighth day, the seventh day, then already he chose. The second reason he chooses is that we know Haman knew of the klal of 30 days before a chag, their doshim on the chag. So he knew about Pesach, but the 30 days beforehand, Klal Yisrael will be prepared for their gula Pesach. So I don't want any connections. Therefore, he had to choose from 30 days from. 30 days from before Pesach. When does that come out to be? Adar is always Choser, which is 16 days, and then 14 days is 30, so you come to Yud Dalet. So he chose Yud Gimel for that reason. In other words, he chose Yud Gimel. The two reasons which the Maharal gives, first because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and secondly that they won't be involved in their Geula. So he chose the 13th. 13th was him. The Goel fell on Adar, and he felt that was a Siman Tov for him, and that's why he went ahead. I can't go anymore now. I have to stop here. We'll carry on here next week.